Welcome to A World Powerfully Transformed, a new podcast from Unity on Cape Cod. We are creating community, celebrating love, and transforming lives. In this special series, we will bring you exciting, positive spiritual teachings, as well as thought-provoking interviews with guests from a diverse spectrum of the greater community. Now let us join Reverend Tony for this week's presentation.
Welcome to the Unity on Cape Cod podcast. I'm Reverend Tony Cryer, the spiritual leader here at Unity on Cape Cod. We are part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, which has a vision of a world powerfully transformed by the growing movement of our shared spiritual awakening. Each week, I will be bringing you special guests, and we'll be talking about current issues and topics that are impacting our lives and how we can take a spiritual approach to transforming our world. So welcome, come on in. Okay, welcome back to A World Powerfully Transformed. We're so grateful today to be continuing our series on God and nature. And today we have a very special guest. She is the Earth Care Ministry team leader here at Unity on Cape Cod, Martha Powers. Welcome, Martha.
Thank you, Tony. Glad to be here.
Oh, we're so grateful that you are here. Martha's been working on the Earth Care Ministry for a long time. How many years have you been doing this?
We began showing films in 2007, so that's when it started.
14 years.
Yeah.
Wow, great. I've been here like 6 years, and I'm really grateful for the work you've been doing, bringing awareness to our responsibility to be good stewards of the earth.
Thank you.
Martha, as part of the Earth Care team here at Unity on Cape Cod, I noticed that we have an Earth Care covenant that we hang in the foyer.
Yes, this is a program administered by the the National Earth Care Team that's part of Unity Worldwide Ministries, and I'm on that team now. So it's a great way to connect to Unity Earth Care people all over the country and even beyond. So they have a program where you can get certified to be a green church, and we did that in 2007. And the main thing you have to do is come together as a congregation and write a covenant together. So this is our covenant, if you could read it, Tony.
I would be delighted. The Earth Care Covenant for Unity on Cape Cod. Acknowledging that all of creation is connected, we as a sacred community are committed to being responsible stewards of our earthly home. We affirm that we hold a deep respect for all life and a sincere reverence for the interdependent web of all that is. We envision a world where all beings are supported in living the lives for which they were created. We live in gratitude and appreciation while working to bring awareness to others. Let us join together as we mindfully support the well-being and protection of Cape Cod's natural environment and the world beyond. We declare our covenant with God to walk lightly upon this beautiful earth as we hold this vision for the greatest good of all creation. That's beautiful, Martha.
That was quite a group project, and you know, it's sometimes hard to write with a group, but we spent weeks and months on putting that together, so that got us certified, which was pretty exciting.
It is exciting, and I love this part about the interdependent web of all that is, because it speaks of the fact that everything is connected.
Yes, that's the one thread I've noticed in all this work, all these years, and all the different groups and all the different approaches. That one connecting thread is that we're all one. And when we dismantle an ecosystem, we blast a hole in part of an ecosystem, it destroys the whole web. So I love that it's becoming the conventional wisdom now that we're all one. You hear that a lot from people that are have no connection to unity. And we, of course, have been saying that since unity started. So it's really perfect, and it's playing out in a lot of different ways because we're oblivious to these connections many times. And when we discover that, for example, the horseshoe crabs lay eggs that this endangered bird needs to make its trip to the Arctic, when the horseshoe crabs are endangered, that bird population is very threatened by extinction. So we didn't know these things, and we're studying more and more how everything is so connected, and we really need to protect it all and protect the wholeness of it all.
I love it. And so you do some educational programs here for adults in April, generally, because that's Earth Care Month.
Yes, we have done a lot of programs in this very room. And we're so blessed on Cape Cod because we have so many experts here, famous worldwide experts right in our midst who, you know, one night we did a program on Stellwagen Bank, and we've had the Woods Hole Research Center. It's called the Woodell Research Center now. That's the biggest center for climate change. We had Phil Duffy speak, and we've had Senator Wolf. We've had a lot of great speakers who have expertise right here on the Cape, and it's unlike anywhere else. And, of course, the Cape is unlike anywhere else because we have so much wildlife here. And so much beauty. Every place you look, there's a ocean or bay, or I don't know if you know, there's 365 bodies of fresh water on Cape Cod. So there's water everywhere. You see these real estate signs with a water view because they have a little pond somewhere, you know. But
right.
It's beautiful in a way that nowhere else is. And I think we need to take special care of it because, like all places that are attractive, we get a lot of people that sort of threaten the peace of it and the overdevelopment in some places. So
right, yeah. I was talking with Susan Starkey on my last podcast, and she said that there's an idea that Cape Cod could become an example of how we save our environment for the whole world.
I agree with her totally. I think we, you know, and I heard her say something like, wouldn't it be great when you come across the bridge, you know that you're entering a sacred natural place. And I've always wanted a sign at the bridge that says carry in, carry out, because not that people ever would, but they don't know that all the garbage that we generate here has to get taken off Cape. So we bring all this stuff and goods and big trucks, and then it has to go off in the garbage train every day. So there's so much we could do to make this a place, you know, like when people go to Costa Rica, they know that they're conscious of the environment, and it's just everywhere. You can feel that reverence for the natural world, and we could do that here.
Yes, I believe so too.
Yeah.
So I think from my perspective as a spiritual leader, that it's a question of awareness, of learning about the spiritual nature of nature.
Yes. Yes. I think that's becoming more, people are more aware. Well, this is one of the wonderful things about COVID. There's not too many, but people went outside or are still going outside more than ever, and they're discovering, and I know we've talked about this, but the healing power, when you feel lousy or unwell or just unhappy or sad or lonely, any of those things, and you go to a beach and hang out with the ocean or go out and look for whales, or there's so many things you can do on the Cape to just be, you know, sit by a tree and talk to the tree about grounding. Teach me about grounding. And there's so many opportunities here to really learn from nature and heal from nature. So that's becoming more mainstream now, too, this I did this program in Costa Rica called forest bathing, where you go out into the forest and commune with nature that way and really immerse yourself in that. You sort of become a tree in the forest, and that's becoming a popular idea, and people know now. If we're going to survive, we have to have natural places and protect them all over, even in cities, especially in cities, so that people can experience nature.
I totally agree with you, 100%. Growing up here on the Cape, I had all of my initial spiritual experiences as a teenager going to the beach by myself, learning to meditate by myself, just sitting on the beach quietly, listening and watching and being in the present moment. And you're right about what's happened in this past year. We've started something here, as you know, called Yes. Walking in the Spirit. And I found out that there's 500 trails, nature trails, on Cape Cod and the islands. And we're endeavoring to discover many of them. And it is quite a healing experience for everyone who comes. And I believe that our disconnect from nature is really the cause of most of our problems on planet Earth.
I agree. I think the culture has evolved to a point where we see ourselves as apart from nature instead of apart of nature.
Mm-hmm.
That we talk about nature as if it's something out there. It's not that something where we are nature. So I think that's shifting as well, and people are learning how essential it is to have the natural world intact, for our whole world to be intact. So, and we all know, and this is becoming more and more known now too, but the indigenous people all over know these things. And mm-hmm. we've let that, we've really not taken advantage of learning from them. There's so much wisdom. And here on Cape Cod, we have the Wampanoags that have been here 10,000 years consistently. There's so much they could be teaching us about how to live in the world. The native idea is that you don't own land, you just steward it and take care of it. And you work in concert with the seasons and the flows and whatever's going on in your environment, and you don't take more than you need ever. And it works. Mm-hmm. And we've not done that. We've exploited nature. There's some groups now that, in fact, the National Earth Care Team is no longer using the word natural resources, because the word resources implies that it's something to exploit. So they just leave the word resources out of any discussions of nature. But
that's incredible.
Yeah.
it's important, I believe, to shape our language to suit or fit more appropriately our beliefs and our higher perspectives. You mentioned the Native Americans, and this morning I was reading something I found very interesting from a Hopi man called Floyd Red Crow Westerman. I would love to read it for you. His perspective Yes. on what's happening right now because of our disconnect with our mother. He says, "We were told that we would see America come and go. And in a sense, America is dying from within because they forgot the instructions of how to live on earth. It is the Hopi belief, it is our belief, that if you are not spiritually connected to the earth and understand the spiritual reality of how to live on earth, it is likely that you will not make it." He goes on to say, "Everything is spiritual. Everything has a spirit. Everything was brought here by the Creator, the one Creator. Some people call him God. Some people call it Buddha. Some people call it Allah. Some people call it by other names. We call it Tancachila, Grandfather. We are here on earth only a few winters, And then we go to spirit. We go to the spirit world. The spirit world is more real than most of us believe.
That's beautiful. You know, I often wonder when I sometimes try to think like God, when God created this earth and how excited she must have been to say, oh, I think I'll create this toucan bird that's very colorful and extraordinary, and hippopotamuses are so different, and all these things that were given to us as a gift, that's infinite opportunities for us to experience life. And I sometimes think we should just be, why aren't we just falling to our knees in awe and wonder and in gratitude every day? Because it's so amazing, even the simple things like the forsythia coming out, or the daffodils coming out, or the birds now singing everywhere, and my beloved ospreys, which I have a spiritual connection to them, and I believe they're messengers of the divine. It's just stunning all the time.
Yes.
And how could we do anything to hurt it? You would think we would be just protecting everything so carefully and cherishing all of it.
And, yes, absolutely. I think it's part of our disconnect, where we've disconnected this thing that we call God from this other thing that we call nature. We don't see that it's the same thing.
And that we are.
And that that's we what are. We are.
Yeah. It's true. I think, yes, we've gotten very disconnected. So I love that you're doing these walks, getting people out there, because they say that people will protect what they love. And I think getting people out into experiences where they appreciate the beauty and the wonders out there really makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think one of the things is that we've gotten so busy trying to make a living, trying to survive, and we just don't have time, and we're not aware of what's all around us, the home that we live in, the environment that we live in. And we haven't taken the time to slow down and make a decision to interact with our natural environment.
When I, a few years ago, when I was busier in some ways, trying to manage the three different jobs and all these environmental projects, and I was on the computer a lot in my house, and from my house I can see a lot of beauty in marsh and the bay and a lot of wildlife and so on. But I would be buried in my computer on a beautiful day, and the ospreys will come over my house, and they'll make a lot of noise, and you know that cry they have, until I would get up and go outside and say, you got to be out here. You got to look up.
I love it. Yeah. It's wonderful. I really think that each step that we take is very important. I noticed I was doing the same thing, Martha. I have a YouTube video that I listen to in my office. It's a very nice meditative music with the water running. And the other day, I took my lunch and I went down to the beach and I said, I can sit here and listen to the water.
Right.
The waves flowing in. And I noticed how healing it was, not just for me, but it was a sunny day, first one that we've had, you know, after winter. And there were several people all sitting in different places along the beach, and everyone was silent. It was a very beautiful moment.
Yeah.
When you looked out and you saw everyone was connecting to the ocean, to the sun, to each other, and feeling like it's all one thing. It's so simple to do.
It is.
If we just take the time to do it.
You know, all those guided meditations that have been around for so many years, I mean, I started listening to them maybe 20, 30 years ago. They all take place in nature. They all close your eyes and imagine that you're at the beach or in the forest. Or,
yeah, you know, and we can just do it.
Yeah, right. Here we can just be there all the time.
Yeah.
So, what a blessing.
I think it's wonderful. So some of the other things that we're doing around here, and you probably noticed we have a full solar array on both sides of our roof.
Oh, yeah.
We've had that for 2 years now. We haven't had to pay any electric bills. But also what we were able to do with this local solar company was to rent out our roof space so that we have an array that's 5 times more than what we need for this building.
Yes.
So we're generating energy for other buildings as well. And I just wanted to put that out there, because if there are other spiritual centers and churches that have large roofs, this could be an option for them, or any business, to either rent out their roof to generate more clean energy or to make a little money on generating electricity and selling it back to the electric company. The array here, I just want to give a little plug for My Generation Energy on Cape Cod. They were the ones that installed it. And they gave us a certificate, a clean energy certificate, for our commitment to the environment and using solar energy to cover 100% of our electrical usage. They say that our array will offset greenhouse gas emissions equal to growing 643 trees in 10 years. And we will also avoid 42,519 pounds of coal. So the amount of electricity that we would generate in 10 years would actually burn over 42,000 pounds of coal. And also, it's equal to recycling 14 tons of waste each year. So this is an amazing way to offset your carbon footprint.
It is, and I like the idea, but not only are we a church that educates the community in a variety of ways about the earth and what's going on with the earth and things we can do, but that we as a church are becoming more green. I mean, that's a very significant step for us, and it's a wonderful way to be green.
It is. Maybe we can talk about in the last few minutes we have some more practical measures that we can take individually and as spiritual communities or any community of people.
Well, I think the biggest thing is really use less, because we're finding that most people are pretty good about recycling. Although on the Cape, just as an aside, it's an issue because we have visitors here, intense numbers of visitors all summer, and they don't recycle. And now a lot of places charge to recycle, so it used to be free. So the summer trash is mostly going into landfills. I think just using less, because the recycling doesn't work very well. I hear this from a lot of different people. And a lot of the plastics aren't really recyclable, and they end up in the landfill, and a lot of it ends up in the ocean, which has become a disaster. I mean, ideally, we could stop producing plastic today, and even it would still take decades for the ocean to get cleaned up. It's so awful what's in the ocean. So I'd say basically use less, but also we've done a number of programs on eating mindfully, eating with compassion, because the agriculture industry is one of the major causes of greenhouse gases, and we've known that since the UN report in 2006 saying it was the leading cause. I know there's different reports now, but anyway, it's way up there. So minimizing any use of animals is really a great spiritual practice as well as healthy practice. But
yes, I agree. Yeah, I can't eat an animal or a fish. Or
it's hard because you see their faces, you know. And so that's a stretch for a lot of people. But even if they can minimize the animal products that they use, that's going to make a big difference. And of course, cars. I know you have an electric.
I bought a Prius. Yeah, I love it. I'm getting 60 miles to the gallon around town. And I used to like driving a comfortable car with leather seats, a big car with leather seats. And the best I could do is about 25 miles to the gallon. And I just couldn't do it anymore and feel like I was, conscious about my driving. And so we drive less. We just put the air in the bicycle tires and started riding the bikes more. And I do feel much better driving a car that uses a lot less gas. And everybody could do it. I mean, every car could get that mileage. And will.
Yeah.
You see ads now that the car companies are all going to go electric.
Yes, that's exciting because there wasn't really the leadership there to make that happen, I think, until recently. So,
but I think they see the inevitability of having to go green, that we've been on the wrong path for a long time. And it's inevitable that we're going to reverse it. We have to get to zero emissions someday. And so I feel that in order to stay in business, they're going to have to do it.
Yes, yes. I think transportation, the ag industry, and the recycling issues are the big ones. I think it always helps to do little things, use less heat, things like that. But I did have a Mary Oliver poem.
Oh, perfect.
To read too, before we finish. So
I would love that. Martha, I'm so grateful that there are so many people now who are becoming more aware and making the decisions to become more green or more environmentally conscious in their life. So keep up the good work in what you're doing around here. I know we have a film coming up in next week, the day after Earth Day.
Yes, the 25th.
23rd?
The 23rd? But I know the 24th. Anyway.
We have an Earth Care film. What's the man's name?
David Attenborough. He's the man. He's 94 now. He spent 60 years kind of witnessing the planet, and the photography is all his films is the most stunning photography you'll ever see. So this is kind of a span of his life of what he's witnessed in the horror show that he's witnessed and where we are now. And also there's some hope in there about how we still have a little time to turn it around.
Excellent. And I have faith that we will, if we can keep going in creating awareness and our own personal decisions. I'm confident that Spirit will lead us out of this.
I think so too. I believe there's a lot more awareness now than there was even 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's really changing.
Yes. And so you brought a poem with you from Mary Oliver?
Well, and yes, and I wanted to just mention Mary Oliver for anyone who doesn't know her poetry. She's internationally famous. She's passed away now, but she lived on Cape Cod in Truro in Provincetown for much of her life. And she's the most amazing poet in that she takes you out into nature and has you look at something slightly different in a way that you've never seen it. And her poetry is so simple and so accessible to everybody, but it's very impactful. She just has a way of describing the natural world, which was where she loved to be. That was her favorite place to be always, much rather than doing a talk in a lecture hall, which she didn't like to do.
Wonderful.
So it's a very short poem.
Okay.
It's maybe her shortest poem.
Well, it's a great way to leave our audience today. And I just want to thank Martha Powers for being here, head of our Earth Care Ministry. And for every one of you who is taking the time to be a little more green in your lives, we just wanted to remind you that God is nature and nature is God.
Thank you, Tony. So here's Mary Oliver. The poem is called Instructions for Living a Life. Pay attention. Be astonished. Tell about it.
Wow. Thank you so much.
And
we'll see you next time.
Thanks, Tony.
Yes, thank you, Martha. We'll see you next time on A World Powerfully Transformed.
Thank you, each and every one, for tuning in to this special edition of A World Powerfully Transformed, a Unity on Cape Cod podcast. If you would like to support this program or find out more about Unity on Cape Cod and our Sunday services, please visit our website, unityoncapecod.org, or stop by our spiritual center at 147 Walton Ave in Hyannis, Mass. We would love to get to know you. Be blessed and remember to be a blessing. This podcast was made possible in part through a grant from Unity Worldwide Ministries and the Templeton Foundation.